calls us back unto him so that we can give honor where honor is due, and we definitely can give praise to whom praise is due. And for those whom are with us tonight within this auditorium or those whom are watching us virtually, we want to welcome you to this service tonight. And when God's word has been spoken, and when we sing those great songs or hymnal songs, we encourage you to turn over your life to the love of God. We hope and trust that you'll do just that. We'll allow God to just work in you and through you so that we can bring glory to his name, but not only that, we'll bring souls into his kingdom. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I invite you to turn to the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. But I want us to notice in particular, as we read tonight, the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I am sure right now that after all of your life experiences, that you have come to know that there's no love like the Lord's love. But I want you to know tonight that there's no intention on my part to minimize the importance or the impact of human love. But rather, I wish to spotlight the love of our Creator for the love of his crown creation. And I'm hoping tonight that when we realize just how much God really loves us, that it'll prick our heart, that we will want to love him as much as we possibly can, because he certainly is deserving of all of our love. But I want you to know tonight, I've been reading a lot, and I know that you have been doing so as well. But I do know one thing tonight. I've been reading somewhere when it says that when we were without faith, God stepped in. I've been reading that when we said that we have no access to his throne, I read that God stepped in. I've been reading somewhere that without hope we were, that God brought hope into our lives. And I've been reading somewhere that when we were without strength, God came in and he empowered us to be all that he has called us to be and to live the way he has called on us to live. There's no doubt about it tonight. There's no doubt about it tonight that the Lord loves us. And I'm hoping that we all will take a deeper dive into the pool of understanding, that we can come out of this thing a lot better than when we went into it. I want to speak with you tonight about the love of God. And I believe that Jesus Christ died because of our weaknesses, because he is and has become our strength. I believe that Jesus died because of our lack of faith, because we need to believe in him. I believe. And I'm hoping tonight that when we sing that invitational song, those of us who have yet to obey the gospel of Christ will do so and do so now. And all of us who have obeyed the gospel, but we haven't really recognized the love of God in our lives, and that we have walked contrary to his will, that we will repent, we'll have a change of mind, and we'll come down, we'll take God's hand and walk with him from this day forward. And when we do that, we'll truly understand the love of God For when we were yet without strength, I want you to get this one, but God, in verse number 8, God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die after we all became his children. He did not die when we all wrapped ourselves in the robes of sainthood. He did not die after we all got up on our feet and want to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. No, he did it while we were yet sinners. And that's a great thing for us to do. I want to talk about three facets of God's love. And this message shall be yours tonight and also mine. God's love is a divine love. It is a displayed love. And God's love is a directed love. In other words, we need to understand that God's love is not like man's love. And man's love is not like God's love without God in his life. So it is a divine love, a displayed love, and it is a directed love. I got some new glasses, and I can actually read that now. God's love is divine. All the other loves that you and I experience come from the very hearts of men and not God. His love is a divine love. And the Bible simply said, and God commended his love. The ideal of it is the only love that they knew is the love that they had grown up with. The only love that they knew is the one that they have come to know. This love is not like our love. Some men sing that song, ain't no love like, y'all don't have to say it, but like love. There's no love like God because love has its origin in God. God is love. And everything that flows from God is real, real love. Because God is love. This is not something springing from the very feelings of the fountain of men. But this is something that is resting and founded in the very heart and mind of God himself. So when we start talking about love, I like to know what kind of love on which you're talking. I like to know what kind of love that you are trying to send my way. But God's love is a divine love. It is not a love of man's creation. It is not something that goes on its ebbs and flows. God's love is a love that still sets high, looks low, lifted us from all of the things that are on this earth. God's love is a lifting love. Somebody had a song, your love lifted me higher. God's love exactly does that because God is love. He is the epitome of it. So whenever you think about God, you have to think about love. It is a divine love. It's not a social kind of love. It's not a fraternal kind of love altogether. This is a divine love. What you and I experience, we need to understand this is the love we have that come from a God who is divine and who has sent not only this kind of feeling, but he sent this emotion, not only this emotion, this attitude, but God also sent an attitude with it. In other words, God teaches us how to love, and that is of a divine nature, not just a natural man loving for man, but the ideal of it is that God loving for mankind. His creation. God's love is a divine love. There is no other love like the love of God. Now we simply say love truly springs eternal because love starts with God. He tells the people here in Romans, we're talking about the great baptism up in the Crestfield family, and same day Brian preached a lesson on that 1-5. I'm preaching 6-8 tonight. We try to be teammates around here, whether y'all know that or not. We try to be teammates. God's love is divine. God's love is a displayed love. Talk is cheap. God is not about just saying that he's love. God is love, and we sing the song, and we sing nothing else but those words. God's love is a displayed love. We cannot say that we love and don't do anything. All walk and no talk. That is not the way God intended for us to be. We can't just sing about the love of God. We have to show the love of God. We can't talk about it's a beautiful thing if they never saw it work in its beauty. God loves us. So we cannot have this love bundled up in our bosom and it never walks down the street. We can never have it bundled in our bosom and it never goes over to help the poor. We can never have the love of God in our bosom if we never visit the prisons. We can never have the love of God in our bosom if we never fed the hungry, if we never visit the fathers and the widows in their affliction. We can never have the love of God bundled in our bosom and nothing ever takes place. We no longer are moved by a divine spark. We are just simply being held down by a mere philosophical ideal we have. God's love is a divine love, and it is a divine love that is displayed. You can't say God and not do something. You can't talk about love and not do something. I can't, you can't. Not any of us could ever do that. You who are at home, sitting and watching, I want you to know you can't do anything. You can't sing about the love. You can't talk about it if we don't walk it, right? Amen, walls and light. God commended. He said, you've had a whole lot of problems here. You don't have the strength to even help yourself. Can you picture this spiritually weak individual who cannot even make a move? This worldly controlled individual who haven't even thought about making a move. How can we ever do this when we talk about walking away and God commending his love towards us? God commends his love. In other words, he don't just talk about it from heaven. We don't sit back and just sing the song, oh, how I love you. God reaches down from all eternity into time itself. And God really makes a difference in the lives of all of us people because God's love is a display. Here's the word, son, it's done all. In other words, broken down, son, as you in, mean to be with. His stand up come from a Greek word, his to me, which really means, it's to me, it's to stand with you, to set it together. God is simply saying, I know the Holy Spirit has moved into your life. I know that Jesus has come to do something in your life. There's three of us in our Godhead, and guess what? It's time for me to kind of come on in and just complete the thing all together because our God is a displaying love, displaying God. And guess what he does? He isn't merely commending them like you and I would think of it. I'm introducing you, and I'm telling you a good thing, and I want you to know I think highly of him and her. That's not what he's talking about. Oh, he's not just about commending them, he is about committing himself to them. That's the love of God. He commends himself. He comes from heaven, he sits right down with us, and he talks with us, and we sing the song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he lets me know that I am his own. God doesn't just talk about commending you. God commits to you. And whenever it's commitment, you better believe it. God's given it everything that he had. God's given him everything that you need. God is often there. God is right there. And God is simply saying, here I am. We sung the song, here I am to worship. God is saying, here I am to save. That's what it's all about. God commended his love towards us. He didn't just talk about it. He got up and done something. He didn't just say, well, you know, I'm God and I'm love and I'm here right now. No, no, no. God is not commending only. God is committing himself. Oh, that's what love does. Love commits to helping you. Love commits to hearing you. Love commits to healing you. That's what love does. And that is what God did. He heard. He helped.
He healed them. That's what God said, I commend my love to you. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to do something about it. How many folks really see God like that, the love of God like that? Listen, he's hearing. He's helping. He's healing. God isn't merely commending. He is committing. And if God can make a commitment to me, why should I not make a commitment to him? If God had made a commitment to you, why have you yet to make a commitment to him? The ideal of it is God lays himself on the line. He puts his love out there. He said, I could be accepted or I could be rejected, but I must put it out there if I'm going to be of help to him at all. That's the way life is. I love God like that. Don't you? The love of God is directed. God has a determined destination. You see, when God is determined, he's going to do something. When there's a destination, he didn't just took love, lay it in his hand and just threw it out there and whoever it falls on. No, God has a destination. I don't know about you, but when I want God to love me, I want him to have me right in his mind. Love, loving you is no accident. God intended for it to be that way. We used to sing that song. Y'all know it. You sang it on February 14th. Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow flow and to my lover's heart for me. The idea about that song is that he didn't really know if she really liked him or not. That's the sad part about the Cupid with the bow, hoping that she would like him. But that doesn't always work. You see, his love is towards us. God's actions are not aimless. They're arranged. It wasn't like he simply said, I'm just going to throw out a blanket of love. And if it lands on someone, if it covers someone, then it's a good thing. Whatever happened out there then, it's a good thing. Life with God is not a crapshoot. You need to know that. God's actions are not aimless. They are arranged. What do you mean? He said, I'm going to do this. I want them. I'm going to need them to come and to yield at my throne. And guess what? He did what he needed for them to do. God is a God who has purpose. He's not aimlessly. He's not shooting forth his arrows aimlessly. But he's coming for us. Whether you know it or not, God has us in his sight. We are his post. We are his, for lack of a better word, target. God is looking out for us. He's looking upon us, and he's zoomed in on us. These are my creatures. My creatures need me. Therefore, I'll reach out to my creature. God's love is a divine love. God's love is a displayed love. We always talk about James, and I think we're doing a great job in our class. A good brother is. And we can't talk about, you show me your faith without your works, and I show you mine by. You show me God's love without God moving towards man. Then we, all of us, can just sit back and do nothing. But God's words, his actions aren't aimless. They're arranged to the intent that now, listen to what God says in, I think, Ephesians 3. To the intent that now, until the principalities and powers in heaven and places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. There's love and wisdom connected. The manifold wisdom of God is known by God's working through, God developing, God bringing into existence the church of his Son, of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. I told you, sharp preacher, I didn't tell you that. God's love is like no other love. And I can say this right now. that we need to learn how to love like God loved. We ought to be able to see the hearts and souls of men. We ought to be able to and willing to be able to overcome all the obstacles of men to get him there, to the place that he needs to be, right at the throne of God. We need to be like God. We can't just sit back and talk about it. We need to show a love that far succeed or exceed the ideal of man and earthly love. God's love is divine, and we need to show God's love. God's love is to be displayed, and we cannot hold it wrapped in our own bosom. Soon it will cease to be what God intended. And guess what? God's love is directed. You need to know whom you're out to get, whom you're out to get to know, whom you're out to get to know Christ, whom you are out to get to submit to his will, whom you are to get to know the kingdom of Christ. The ideal of it is my love is directed. It is not a blind leap in the dark upon someone. It is not some aimless task we take. We undertake, but rather I tell you what it is. It is an aim that God has for all of us. We are not running around aimlessly, but I tell you what. This is an arranged thing. Our plans are made, our hearts are fixed, and our hands are ready, and we're about to go out and embark on something that God did. That is, we want to stand right by them. We want to teach them what God says. We want to show the love that God showed, and hopefully they'll submit like they did in days of old. And if there's someone out there tonight within our audience here or at home who are looking and have joined us for this time, if you know that your life is not right with Christ and that you are not a blood-bought, newborn believer, then I tell you what, you need to repent right now. You need to acknowledge all the wrong that's in your life and realize the right that's all in the life of Christ. You need to repent of those bad things. And not only that, we need to repent of the things that are good that we failed to do. God needs to forgive us of all the things that are not right in our lives. And when you repent, God asks you to come down, and you can do that just now. You can give the preacher, the elder, your hand, but you always give God your heart. We'll take you down in that watery grave, and we'll bury you just like Jesus was buried. And hopefully you'll be resurrected like Jesus. Spend the rest of your days roaming this earth and ultimately taken away, laid gently in the arms, in the bosom of Abraham. For those of us who are here tonight, we realize that without the love of God in our life, where would we be? We know we would be a lost individual. We know that we would just be lagging along. We know that we will not be anyone who's moving forward for the good. And as a Christian, if you haven't loved the way you should be loving, as a Christian, if I haven't been loving the way I should be loving, if none of us have been loving the way that we should have been loving in a divine, godly, heavenly way, then we all need to repent, the entire church. Well, I think I'm going to move on from that one. Church needs to move. We need to ask God forgiveness. We ought to display that love. And guess what? We ought to direct it. We ought to be able to teach those who have never come unto the knowledge of the grace of Christ. They have yet to obey the gospel. We need to do that. We need also to teach those of us who have grabbed that gospel plow, but for some reason have a tendency to look backwards rather than forward. We need to grab him or her. They need to grab you and I when that becomes the very thing that's happening. We need to repent ourselves. We need to ask God's forgiveness as a child of his. We need to ask God's forgiveness as a saint of his so that we can be all that we can be. Let's do that. Let's show the love of God. Let's let it be something that is in our mind. It's just not something just flowing. Whatever happens, happens. No, we have to be deliberate in showing the love. As God said, I commend you. And that's what he's saying. I am commending my love. God did that. So that's what the world needs. That's what we owe the world. We need to commend our love to the world. As together we stand and sing.